morning, everybody. All doing well? Good. Thank you, Jared. Last week I saw Jim was leading singing, and I knew exactly what I was going to base my lesson on because he always does 4:49 before the lesson. And so now I've got to change everything. So. So last year at this time, I'm sure all of you were saying, this year things are going to be different. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a better husband or a better wife. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to spend more time reading my Bible, more time praying to God, and more time serving others. This year, I'm going to get my ducks in a row. How many of you accomplished those things? I saw a recent study that was done that listed the 5 most popular resolutions for New Year's. Number 5 was get a new hobby. Number 4, make more money. Number 3, improve my relationships. Number 2, stop smoking. And I'm sure most of you can guess what was the number 1 most popular New Year's resolution. Lose weight. Yep. Which reminds me of a little story I heard recently. A lady got up in the morning and she went to the bathroom and she noticed that she walked in. Her husband was standing on the scale and he was holding his stomach in. And she thought to herself, that's not going to help any. And so she sarcastically said to him, you know that's not going to help. And he looked at her and said, yes, it does. I can't see the numbers otherwise. So often after this time of year, after the overindulgence of the holidays, we make resolutions to change our habits and change our way of life. The new year gives us a new opportunity for a fresh start and to better ourselves. But come about middle of January, we usually forget our resolutions and return to our old ways. Can you even remember what your resolution was from 2 years ago? From last year? Can you even remember what it was for this year? Because we all have a hard time remembering things. And the older we get, the worse it is. Again, I'm reminded of this story I heard recently of the man who had to move into a retirement community. So he had to make all new friends. And it was going well. He had lots of friends, and he met one lady, and he was attracted to her, and she liked him, and they ended up spending quite a bit of time together. And so one day he decided, I'm going to propose. And he got up the courage, and he went to her, and he proposed and asked her to marry him. And the next morning he got up, and he couldn't remember what she answered. And he felt horrible. And he said, well, I'm just going to have to go find out. So he walked up sheepishly and embarrassed, said, I hate to say it, but I can't remember what you said when I asked if you would marry me. And she got a big grin on her face, and she was so excited. She said, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who it was. Because it's so easy for us to forget not just New Year's resolutions, but commitments and agreements that we've made throughout our life on everything. We lose track of them because we're not really committed to following through with them, no matter what it takes or how difficult it may be. Of course, when you know, if you think about it, New Year's resolutions only fall into 3 categories. All of them can be boiled down into these 3 things. Things that make us look better or live longer. Things that make us have more in our lives. Or things that help us get along better with other people. Let's call them longevity, prosperity, and peace. So while I was thinking about the topic, I thought I would go through Scripture and see if I could find any resolutions that were in Scripture. Well, I didn't actually, that was called resolutions, but I did find a particular set that I think that we should look at this morning and make them our resolutions for 2019. Let's call it 10 New Year's resolutions from the wisest man on earth that ever lived. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon starts off the third chapter with a very matter-of-fact statement, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Isn't that what we're striving for? Most New Year's resolutions are to prolong our life, give us peace or prosperity. If he's saying, listen to these things, I really want to pay attention to what he has to say. If he's going to start with a statement like that, you know something's coming. And so he begins in verse 3 with 10 principles that should make us live better, to make us prosperous, and to live at peace with others. So the first resolution I would like all of us to have for the year, it begins in verse 3, is to have love and faithfulness in our life. You notice he says in verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now, what is love? I mean, the definitions are endless, right? Love could be that glance across the room to that one person that immediately you know it's love. For me, it's a set of nails in my hands. Think about it. It's defined differently for everybody, but we all know in our heart what it is. Faithfulness is maintaining allegiance, that constant loyalty, showing a strong sense of duty or responsibility. He says, if you have these things in your life, you will find favor not only with God, but with men. Because these two things are the foundation of everything else in life. So, resolution 2, trust in the Lord, beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In your own ways, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Okay. What is trust? We all do it, but what is it? Have you ever stopped and think what trust is? Of course, definitions never really define it, right? They make those lovely words, and you know, you read it out of a dictionary, and you still say, what is it? But it reads as that firm belief or confidence in the honesty, integrity, or reliability of another person or thing. Trust in the Lord. Put all of your confidence in his integrity and his honesty. With all your heart. How confident are we about trusting him? How many of you ever done that trust little exercise? You go to something where you, we have them at work every so often where they're trying to build us up so that we trust each other at work. You know, it's like we don't trust each other every day, you know. But they put two people behind you and tell them to fall backwards. Are you going to look before you fall? Or are you just going to fall backwards and assume they're going to catch you? That's trust. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. Because every time I think I understand something, I find out I didn't understand as well as I'd understood it. Because when I think I know what I'm doing is usually when I'm wrong. Resolution 3. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. How often are we too self-centered and overconfident in our own plans and our own ideas? We're wise in our own eyes when we should be wise in God's eyes. And the bigger question I find at the end is, how often do we shun evil? Do we truly go out of our way to avoid it? Difficult question. But that is what Solomon said his son should do if he wanted health and to live long. Are we wise in our own eyes, or do we ask God for his advice before we do something? Moving on to number 4, starting in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. This starts with a generous heart. For we cannot truly honor the Lord unless we have the same heart he has, a giving heart. We should want to share the gifts that we have from the Lord with others, for we have to remember that none of it's ours. We're merely caretakers of whatever he allowed us to have. Resolution 5. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. In verse 11 it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." Do we feel loved when we're disciplined? Or are we feeling that we are being abused? Too often we forget what that word truly means. Discipline is not punishment. Discipline is instruction and teaching and correction. If the Lord disciplines you, he's teaching. He's correcting. And it says delight in that because he loves you. If you don't care about somebody, you let them do whatever they want. If you truly care about them, you want them to be better. We will not let our children go and touch the stove because it's not good for them. Often the Lord is trying to stop me from touching the stove. I just don't realize it until after I've done it. And then it's like, oh, that's what he was trying to tell me. Moving on to verse 13, we see the 6th resolution that we should have for our year. And that is to search diligently for wisdom. Verse 13 begins with, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better than returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. As long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant always, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided and the clouds that dropped the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament of grace around your neck. And then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. See, wisdom has two characteristics: information and know-how. Consider a farmer in his field. He could have a tractor. He can have the plow. He can have all the seeds. He can have the fuel for the tractor. But he still has to know what to do with them and when to do it. He has to know where to plant, when to plant, and how to plant. He knows which soil is good and which is bad. And that information will do him no good unless he knows what to do and when to do it. Because I have all that knowledge. I can't grow a thing. Because I don't know how to apply that knowledge. The intellectual side of it, the information, is only part of it. How do you make it applicable to your life? That's wisdom. And Solomon told his son that that is the most important thing that you can have. Search after that. Find it. For that will bring you more returns than gold. Moving on to 7. Have no fear. Beginning at verse 25. Have no fear of sudden disaster or ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side, and he will keep your foot from being snared. Do we live in fear? Fear of what's going on around us in the world? Fear of financial problems? Fear of anything at all? You name it. People worry and fear about everything. And Solomon says, have no fear. Is that possible? Can we truly live with no fear at all in our life? If we do what he says, you really can. If you realize that God is there and he will keep me from being snared and hold my foot from being damaged, you could truly live with no fear at all. Oh, sure, things are still going to happen, but ultimately, I know the end result. He has me and I am his. What else is there to fear? I still know that it's difficult. It's hard sometimes. So, all right, moving on to 8. Beginning in verse 27, he says, do not withhold good from those it is due. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Let that sink in a minute. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is within your power to act. I stop and think of how many times I've said, if there's anything I can do for you, don't hesitate to call me. And I cannot think of a single time somebody's actually ever come back and said, you remember when you told me to call you? When I could have gone and done something right then that needed to be done. I just used the simple little words to get myself out of doing what I knew I should have done. Solomon is saying, do not withhold good from those it is due when it's within your power to do it. Moving on, 9. Trying to get to the end before the clock runs out here. So those of you that haven't turned around, we have no clock. So beginning in verse 29, he says, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. And do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Does that apply to the tax man? Does that apply to the person that's in traffic with you on the way to work? Does that apply to the person who works with you that might be up for the same job? Do we plot harm against those who really don't intend to harm us? Do we actually do things to people who live next to us trustfully? Are we spiteful people by nature? Solomon is saying, if you want to live long and prosper, don't live like that. That is not the world we live in. That's exactly opposite from what you'll find in everything about the world. The world says if they did something to you, you've got to do something back. Or even if they're planning it, don't let it happen. God says just the opposite. And finally, the 10th resolution that Solomon wrote for his son was, do not envy the violent person or choose any of their ways. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. Sounds like a simple one, doesn't it? Do not envy the violent or choose their ways. And then I have to stop and think, what did I watch on television this week? How easy is it for us to be influenced by what we watch and what we see, what we hear? We don't even know how much it affects us in every day, but it does. If you look back at that list of 10 items that Solomon wanted for his son, there's a lot that we have to do. I mean, I've got a long way to go. I'm sure some of you in your study for the week will look back on it and say, there's a few of these that I need to improve in my life this year. They're steep goals to achieve, but they're achievable. We need to find practical ways that we can improve ourselves. Check back and reread this week if you get an opportunity. Chapter 3. See as Solomon's wishes for his son, and see how many of those we can apply in our lives. And I'd like to conclude with, may God bless you this year, and may you have the strength to follow through on whatever resolutions that you choose. If you have a need this morning, would you please come forward as we stand to sing? If you need to become a member of the body, please come as we stand to sing.
In heaven. 'Tis now.
Have a seat. All right, back again. So, announcements that we need to bring up. Please continue to keep James and Katie Bickle in your prayers. James's grandfather passed away, and the visitation will be Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m. and Wednesday 11 to 12, and service will be held 12 Wednesday at Phillips Robinson Funeral Home East, correct? Okay. And Katie's grandfather is still in the hospital, and they did not give him a good prognosis this week. So anything you need to add, James, or? Continue to keep Papa and Jonathan in your prayers as they're still in India. They come home Friday. Okay, so continue to keep them in your prayers. And let's see, we have a game night Saturday night beginning at 5. Anybody that would like to come, please come and spend as much time as you'd like. The 3rd of February, we're going to have our 4th or 5th annual Super Bowl party. So please bring your best soup and see if you can win the trophy. Who's the current reigning champion? Yeah. So. See if you can dethrone Chris this year. So. We're going to have class tonight. Probably shouldn't. No. Okay. We're not going to run the bus tonight, so we won't have class, because with one working bathroom, that may not be good. So we'll have to get that fixed this week. Anything else I've missed? Need to add? Your sister doing okay? Good. Good. Matt?
We have a
I've asked Dave if he would come lead our closing prayer. Sorry.
Without being overly obvious, I think John could use some encouragement.
Okay.
I think, another good praying for him. It's something that I can kind of tell over the past little bit, but you go through something surgery, and then
and more hands. Let's pray together. Father God, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for the blessing of being together as your children, as a family here at Echo Hills, just being together and enjoying the time that we spend together in worship, in learning more about you, and rededicating ourselves to you each and every time that we come together. I pray, Father, that you would just continue to watch over us and bless us as we think about the things that Rich shared with us from Solomon. Those areas of our lives, Father, that need so much work, and that we continue to try to improve ourselves in so many different ways. And we know, Father, that the foundation of that is to learn how to trust you more, to learn how to trust you with our money and with our finances and with our family and with everything, Father, that you have given us in this life to help us, Father, just to be more like your Son. And we just pray, Father, that as we start this new year and as we live through this year, that we will take those ideas and those things very seriously. We're mindful at this time, Father, of those that are struggling and are sick. We're mindful of the Bickles and all the difficulties that they have been through and are going through right now. We just ask that you would continue to watch over them and bless them. We're mindful, Father, of John as he continues to struggle with life as he has gone through so many things recently. We're mindful of Ainsley, as we know that is such a difficult situation. And we know, Father, that there are so many others that are struggling, people that we're thinking about right now, who are going through so many problems and difficulties. And a lot of times we don't know what to say or to do. But we know, Father, that the one thing that we can definitely do is we can lift them up before you each and every day. And we know, Father, that in our trust of you, we know that you are able to handle those situations, that you're able to comfort and give strength in areas and ways that we can't. We're grateful, Father, for the blessing of your Son and the way that he has taught us how to live this life successfully. And we know that the only way, Father, that we can have true joy and peace in this life is to live our lives for you. And we pray that we, Father, would seek and strive to do that. I ask you, Father, to just continue to watch over Dad and Jonathan as they're traveling, as be with them and help them and guide them and bring them back to us safely. Again, Father, we're thankful for your Son, and we're thankful for the avenue of prayer that we can come to you and speak to you and offer our prayer and heart and our heart, the desires of our hearts to you because of him. And it's in his name that I pray this prayer. Amen. All right, kids, let's come sing. All right, what are we doing?